Now please turn to Exodus 20 and verse 7. Hear the command of our Maker. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. And to understand what this means, we need to consider three things. Whose name it is, what is in a name, and what it means to take the name of Almighty God in vain. So firstly, whose name it is. It is the name of God himself. You give people reverence and respect according to who they are. You wouldn't say the name, or I'd hope not, of Her Majesty the Queen lightly. I remember a man called Brigadier Dobby, when he preaches, every time he refers to the Queen, he says, "And Her Majesty the Queen." Every single time. Who is this? It is the name of God. It is the one, if you were to look at the preceding chapter, that when he warned people he was going to descend upon Mount Sinai, they had to take two whole days to cleanse themselves. On the third day, they were not to even go onto the mountain on pain of death because God was there. And when God came, what was that sight like? There was thunders, there was lightnings, there was fire, there was the sound of a great trumpet. Because Almighty God, albeit clothed in clouds, otherwise all men would have perished, had come upon the mountain. What respect we should show him. His is not a name that we should ever take lightly and in vain. So great was that sight that, as we read, the people were so afraid of God, they said, "We cannot approach him. You speak with him. You be our mediator. If he speaks with us, we will die." And Moses said, "God has come to test you, that his fear may be upon you, that you may observe his commands." It is no small thing to take the name of God in vain. I serve with men in the army. If you said their name casually or in a jokingly way or spoke about them in a foolish way, that would be a guaranteed stand-up fist fight. I wasn't a Christian then, but that was the regiment I served in. And respect was a huge thing. Gangs in London, teenagers, boys of 13, 14, will stab each other to death over a look or a lack of disrespect. You say their name, you go into the wrong postcode, so to speak. That's enough for your life to be taken in this mark of disrespect. But how much more when we disrespect the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and say his name in a wrong way. But what is in a name? What is the name of God, secondly? Well, Yahweh, in the original language, in the Hebrew, which is Jehovah or Lord. What does that mean? Well, Moses asked God his name. He said, "Who shall I say your name is? You've sending me back to Egypt to reclaim your people. Who shall I say sent me?" And this is what God said to him. "Tell them this, I am who I am." That's why it's so wrong when people say, "Oh, I'm the big I am." They're mocking God in a way. They don't realize it. But God said, "I am who I am." That is all you need to know. I am. I exist. His name is the sacred, eternal, self-existent being. He's utterly independent. He needs no one. He needs nothing. We do not complete him in any way. We add nothing to him. He is God. This name is so sacred that the Jewish scribes, when they wrote it, every single time before they wrote the name of God, they had to cleanse their whole body. Imagine that. How many times God's name appears in his word. Every time they would cleanse it. Christ himself said when he taught his disciples to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." It is a sacred name, the name of God. But what does it actually mean? Taking God's name in vain. We'll come on to that in a minute. But name, what is in a name? Well, scripture interprets scripture. In Proverbs 22, we read this. "A good name is to be chosen than great riches." Now, does that mean if I said to one of you, listen, you can either have £1 million or you can change your name to what I think is a better name? No, it doesn't. You'd say, I'd rather have the money, thank you. You can call me what you like. Your name is your character. Your name is what's associated with you. Your name is your reputation, if you like. And Proverbs said, it's better to have a good name that when people think of you, they think of your character. The man you are or the woman you are, it's better to have a good character, a good reputation than having great riches. A name means everything. A name, the right name means, oh, I can trust that person. That person will help me. That person, what they stand for. When that name is said, you say, ah, yes, that means so much to me, that name. I want us to consider, what does God's word say about his name? Do you know, Almighty God in his word has lots to say about his very name. I'm going to take you through half a dozen or so. This is what God has put in his word. Each word has been put in here by God through human penmen for us to understand. God's name, bear in mind, this is his character, is great and awesome. Psalm 99, the Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. God's name is glorious, because he is glorious. Nehemiah 9:5, blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. Now this is his character. Excellent. God's name is excellent. Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Psalm 9 again. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High, your character, God. Just think, when I used to go to the football, we'd sing chants to the players. All the players have different chants. How much more should we praise God? And not, it's not just God, it's his name. Because what it represents of who God is. We've been singing hymns of praise to God. It says in Proverbs that the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord, not the Lord, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Those who run to it are safe. The righteous run to it and are safe. That means someone hears about who God is. We've been thinking about with the children how God's law shows us we've sinned, and you hear the name of Christ. Ah, that name, it's him I need. I run to him and I'm safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The name of God is everlasting strength. It says this in Isaiah 26. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah, now remember Jehovah is his name, is everlasting strength. His name, everlasting strength. His character, his reputation, who he is, what he's about. Everlasting strength. And it says in Psalm 72, his name shall endure forever. The reputation, the character of men, they fade into the distance. The greatest man living today eventually, or the greatest woman who does the greatest things, eventually as time passes, someone will say in 200 years, 300 years, 500 years, who? Who were they? People now don't even know who Winston Churchill is. Some of the youngsters. Now, who's Winston Churchill? The great men and women of the past, they fade away. God's name, his character, his reputation will endure forever. It will not deteriorate the slightest. For all eternity, God's creatures will know God's name. And lastly, Christ is the highest name. It says in Philippians that this, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and of those, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Does that mean if I just say the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll bow down immediately? No. But this name represents authority. And there's going to come a day where at that name, where everyone present, whether they love Christ or not, will say, Jesus, and they will bow down immediately. They will fall down at his authority. What a blessed name. So do you see that in a name is everything? What are our names associated with? When people say our names, immediately people have an idea about us. But God, when we say his name, his character, his reputation, if you like, his integrity, his very being, it's all wrapped up. It is one and the same. Now, how can we take the Lord's name in vain? You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. What does it even mean, vain? Well, vain can be used in a variety of ways. We don't have time. If you were to go through that same Hebrew word, and it's translated in a number of different ways, it can mean pointless, it can mean destructive and evil, it can mean futile, it can mean in a false way, all sorts of ways. Let's just think how we could take the Lord's name in vain. And just before we look at that, just think about this. These are commandments are from the heart. So the first commandment is we should have no other gods before him. We've realized that God is the greatest. We should worship him. He should come before everything in our hearts. And then secondly, that this will come out into our lives, that we wouldn't worship anything else, and we wouldn't have false worship to him. We wouldn't try and create anything which would offend him. And so therefore, with such a high view of God, as we should be, therefore his name to us is precious. So it's not just, how can I put it, I don't want to say a random command that just plucked out of thin air. This is a natural progression. And we hope to look in 2 weeks' time, God willing, as to why then God's day would be so special to us if we revere him. So these are commandments from the heart. I would hope I'd always say the name of my wife tenderly. And if I heard someone speak about her in a casual, horrible way, then I'd have something to say to them about it. And I'm sure you'd feel the same about your loved ones. So it's a question of our hearts. The respect due. So taking the Lord's name in vain. The first way. Well, it says in Leviticus 24:16, and whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall certainly stone him. If God's people back then were to use God's name as a curse word, or even curse God himself, or say God's name as a source of frustration, and people heard that and it was found out, they would literally be taken, and they would dare to do that about our holy God, and they would be stoned to death. How could we take God's name in a destructive way? Well, if we blaspheme his name, when people say, oh my, and then they say the name of God, or even, it's not worse, but it seems those of us that love the Saviour, when you hear someone say the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as a swear word, that name which is above every name, they stub their toe, or even something good happens and then they take his name in a way as an exclamation to draw attention. We hear it in the speech of others, don't we? We read it in books. We shouldn't read books that way. We hear it on films. And in olden times, that would bring the death penalty. It's a terrible thing to do that because of who God is. We just considered those texts. And how sad it is that on our worst days, even as Christians, we can hear God's name taken in vain and say on a film, well, I suppose it doesn't really matter. We forget about that. That's a terrible thing. You would not let someone take the name of your wife, your child, your husband, your friend in vain like that, to use it like that. Imagine if mothers, you had a little boy, we call him David, and for whatever reason, another lady didn't like your child, and deliberately, every time she was upset or did something wrong, she'd go, oh, that's stupid, that's David. Oh, that's so like David. Oh, David. And time and time you heard that. You would go to that mother and say, don't you dare speak about my son like that. I love him. Well, how we should be as Christians when we hear people taking God's name in vain. But have we done that? That's the most obvious one, but there's so many more. When we talk about God in a casual way, at seminaries, when we learn about God, this can go wrong. As Christians, we begin to speak about the Lord God of heaven and earth as if he's anyone and saying, oh, well, and I won't even say his name. He does this or he does that. Oh, he wouldn't do that. Or, oh, he, and we speak about he's anyone. We can find that offensive about mortal men. I remember hearing a preacher, he's a good man, he's a kind-hearted man, he's a better man than I am. But he was speaking about Charles Spurgeon from the pulpit, and he went, oh, Charlie Spurgeon said this. And it just irritated me slightly, because if you know Charles Haddon Spurgeon and how God mightily used him, and I gently mentioned him afterwards, I said, oh, well, I like Charles Spurgeon deliberately. If there's someone that you respect, someone who you look up to from history or now, and someone was to just casually say their name, you'd say that, just be careful, this man, this woman did great things. Don't speak about not anyone. And yet we can speak about God like that. We can speak about God, take his name in vain, when we attribute wrong things to him in an accusing way. The atheist says, well, if there is a God, how I'm going to ask him, I'm going to tell him, I'm going to accuse him and say, how did you dare do this? How did you dare do that? Why did you let that happen? And they say they're going to say all these things and accuse God of these things. In Job, we read these words, what God had to say about Job's friends. Job 42, verse 7. This is God speaking to the three friends of Job for all the things said impugned to God which weren't right. My wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right. Have we ever done that? Have we ever sat there and complained about God? We've taken his name in vain. In Romans it says, one day there's going to come a day when God says, I will convict all those sinful men of all the harsh things they've said against me. I've met many people that don't believe in God, and they've all told me what they're going to say to God. And I've said to each and every one of them, when you come before God, when he summons you on that great day, you will not be even able to speak. You will fall down in fear and terror in the presence of the holy God. Isaiah said, that godly man, when he saw the Lord, he said, woe to me, I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. And he loved the Lord. As he stood in the presence of God in that vision, in the holiness of God, he said, my lips, I've been so wrong. That is what the sinner will be who's not right with Christ. But we can take God's name in vain in another way. We can literally take his name, we can say, yes, I belong to the Lord, but our lives don't match it up. Think about a man being married and his wife, the ring is on both our fingers. It's a covenant, if you like, between each other to be faithful, to love each other until death do us part. And my wife and your wife, you're married, bears your name. Her surname has changed. Now imagine a married couple and the wife is out and about and she's having wrong relationships with other men. And the husband speaks to her and she says, well, I've got your name. I've got the same surname as you and I wear a wedding ring. And the husband is grieved, said, you wear that ring and you take my name in vain because you flirt and you've kissed, you've done all sorts with other men. You wear that in vain. Well, we do the same with God, my friends. Isaiah 29, it says this, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouth and honour me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me. We come in and we say we're Christians and we talk about God and we tell people we're Christians and we sing praises and we do all the rest of it. And God says, but your life does not match up to the name you take. We've taken the Lord's name in vain. We take God's name in vain when we just give him insincere, half-hearted worship. In Malachi 1 verse 6, God says, "Where is my reverence, saith the Lord of hosts, to you priests who despise my name?" What the priests were doing, it was a time for the sacrifice, and they were supposed to offer a perfect sacrifice, so the lamb or the calf or whatever couldn't have a broken leg or any defect with it, and they'd say, "That'll do." Don't we sin in that? We come in, we're singing a hymn, and our mind's thinking about a holiday or problems in our life, and we're not even meaning the very words we're saying. We pray, and yet the words of our prayer to the living God, they're not sincere. A man preaches, and he doesn't mean every word he says. He says the right thing, and God says, "You take my name in vain." The false teachers. In Lamentations, it says, "Your prophets," this is God speaking, "have sinned for you false and deceptive visions. They have not uncovered your iniquity." The prophets back then, instead of telling people the truth, they were saying something like this: "God says it's all right. God says everything is going to be all right. He's your God. He doesn't mind what you're doing." And God says to those prophets, "You are false. You have taken my name in vain. You have said that I don't care about sin and I'm holy and sin must be dealt with." And we take God's name in vain. Anytime we ever cheapen sin, anytime we say something like this, "Oh, well, the Lord understands. He doesn't mind." That's wrong. And we have many false teachers today. And they say, "God doesn't mind your lifestyle. You can choose what you want to do. You can choose who you want to marry. You can choose who you want to be. You can change your very sex," because God would never mind that. And God says, "You take my name in vain." And it adds to a long list of sin. And lastly, vows. In Leviticus, people were told, "You shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." If people were to say, "Well, I make this vow to you, and I vow I will never do this thing, or I vow I will always do this thing," and they invoke God's name, and they don't complete that vow, then God said, "You took my name in vain." Husbands, we have broken our vows. We vow before God to always nourish and cherish our wives. Would we dare stand before the God who came on Mount Sinai and say, "Look at my married life, and you'll see the vow I gave to you so many years ago, I've always nourished and cherished my wife." Husbands, you promised, wives, you promised to honour and obey your husband. Would you dare stand, those of you who are married, before the living God and say, "Look at my married life. In every thought, every heart, every word, every time I've spoken about my husband, I've honoured and I've obeyed him." We break these vows so easily. But worse than that, we can break our vows to God. Ecclesiastes, "Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore let your words be few." And it goes on to say this: "When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay." What a thought! Perhaps we've literally vowed to God, "God, I vow before you I will never do this," or "I vow I will do that." Or even in our hearts, we make a promise, "Lord, I'm never going to do that again." And then we do. And God says, "You said to me, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that you wouldn't, or you would do that thing. And now you've decided you can't keep your vow." Do we do that to God? But haven't we all done that in different ways? And do you know what's so wrong about this? It's because God always keeps his promises. In 1 Samuel, the Lord said, "For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake." God keeps his promises to his own hurt. God, when he says he'll do something, he always does it. God has never said one thing in all of time and not fulfilled it, and not kept it, for blessing or for judgment. That's why, so we should take God's words very seriously for our blessing, but also those that would warn us. All have sinned. We've all fallen short of taking God's name in vain. Perhaps you've been raised in a Christian family and you've never taken God's name in vain. Do you know, you might have done it inadvertently. I only found out to my shame last night, Carol, I'm surprised I didn't know this. Did you know the words golly and gosh are a euphemism for God? Did you know that? Did you know in America where they say the name G, they go, gee whiz? I never knew that. G is another nickname for Jesus. I never knew that. And my wife, her late father, who's been with the Lord a number of years, he said it's a really grieving hearing people say that. That's why Leviticus, there was the sacrifices for accidental sin. But in all these other ways, all of us here have taken God's name in vain. And it says God, he will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Some people would listen to this and say, oh, no, this isn't right. You're representing God in a harsh way. And he knows what we're like. He will just be kind to us. Well, you're calling God a liar. He will be kind to us in a certain way. We'll look at it in a minute. He will not hold him guiltless. God will say, you said my name on that day and you've done this multiple times and I've done this and I do not hold you guiltless. No wonder Isaiah said he was a man of unclean lips. When Moses asked to see the Lord, and the Lord said to Moses, you cannot see my face and live. I am so great and glorious, but I will make my goodness pass before you, and I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And this is what he said, I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And God has been so kind to us, because in our wickedness, in our filthiness, in our rebellion to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who each one of us here today, preacher and people alike, have disrespected so much, God has made a promise. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God has done something amazing. How would you treat people that spoke so evilly and disrespectfully to you or your loved ones? We would, in our natural state, want revenge, wouldn't we? God has not done that. God has looked at us and said, you wicked people, I will have compassion on you. I will send my son, and he will live the perfect life, Jesus Christ, and he will hang on a cross. He loves sinners so much that have taken the name of Jesus, blasphemed them. He loves them so much that those that will come to him, he will bear your punishment. God himself says he loved the world, those in the world that will turn to him. I will send my son. I will make a way for you. You will not be the devil's plaything. You will not be vandalized by sin anymore. You will not insult me to my face. I will show mercy and love on you if you will but go to my son Jesus Christ, and he will forgive you, because he has taken the punishment that we would dare to take God's name in vain. The children of Israel had to have Moses as the mediator. Christ is our mediator between our holy God and us. The children of Israel had to offer sacrifices in the Old Testament each time they sinned to be right with God through a priest. Christ is both the priest, our representative to God, and the sacrifice for our sin. He suffered on Calvary for blasphemers who will come to him. What love that is. Did you really understand that? That the Lord Jesus Christ, if you come to him as a sinner and you've blasphemed God's name, this is one of many sins you've committed and I've committed, and yet you say, oh Lord, I may have taken your name in vain in past, but forgive me. I see now I'm a sinner. Have mercy upon me. He readily, he willingly grants forgiveness. What a sweet name it is. But God will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. What is your hope as you come to meet to the Lord? This is just one of 10 commandments for your blasphemy. Have you sought forgiveness? Can you see the grace and love of God to you this morning? He's appointed for you to hear this message from his word, that he's willing to forgive your blasphemy. He's made a way. But let us take great care as his people in how we speak about God. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.